Chapter 4, Reconnaissance Operations. Cavalry formations conduct combined arms reconnaissance operations to determine enemy composition and disposition, as well as to gather information on the operational environment. Reconnaissance operations enable all units to seize, retain, and exploit the initiative across the range of military operations by identifying, creating, and capitalizing upon opportunities, providing them with information facilitating decision-making, and the concentration of unified efforts against decisive points. Section 1. Reconnaissance Fundamentals, Methods, Management. Reconnaissance is a mission undertaken to obtain information about the activities and resources of an enemy or adversary, or to secure data concerning the meteorological, hydrographic, geographic, or other characteristics of a particular area by visual observation or other detection methods, JP2O. Conducting reconnaissance before and during other combat operations provides information to the commander so they can confirm, deny, and modify the concept of operations. Within the BCT, the Cavalry Squadron is the principal reconnaissance organization. Reconnaissance Fundamentals. Planning and executing reconnaissance operations consists of 7 fundamentals. Ensure continuous reconnaissance. BCTs require continuous information collection throughout all phases and critical events of all operations. Commanders direct information collection throughout all operations and task-organize cavalry assets to collect required information vital to enhancing the commander's ability to make informed decisions. Continuous reconnaissance provides commanders with a constant flow of relevant information to identify and seize key terrain, confirm or deny enemy composition, disposition, strength, and courses of action. Continuous reconnaissance also provides reaction time and maneuver space for unpredicted enemy actions. Do not keep reconnaissance assets in reserve. Continuous and focused collection efforts require an efficient mix and redundancy of reconnaissance assets. However, this does not mean employing all assets and capabilities simultaneously. Commanders maximize employment of their reconnaissance assets and capabilities to answer their CCIRs. BCTs task and position reconnaissance assets and capabilities at the appropriate time, place, and in the right combination, human, sensor, and technical means to maximize their impact, allow for timely analysis of information, and aid decision-making at the appropriate echelon. Note: this does not mean cavalry units should not have a reserve. Instead, cavalry units should generate a reserve from non-reconnaissance units. For example, the tank company in an ABCT, an anti-tank guided missile platoon from the weapons troop in an SBCT, or a platoon from a weapons company in an IBCT. Orient on the reconnaissance objective. Commanders establish the reconnaissance objective with a specific task, purpose, and focus to direct reconnaissance efforts. The reconnaissance objective specifies the most important result to obtain from the reconnaissance effort and clarifies the intent of the reconnaissance effort. Cavalry formations use NAIs to focus information collection to answer PIRs. However, observing NAIs is just a means of collecting information or the initial assessment as to where information and indicators might be collected. Orienting on the reconnaissance objective helps cavalry formations understand when and if it should adjust information collection of an NAI. Report all required information rapidly and accurately. Commanders develop plans and make decisions based upon the analysis of information subordinate units collect. Commanders require quick and accurate reports to make informed decisions on the proper application of forces. Rapid reporting allows staffs maximum time to analyze information and make timely recommendations to the commander. Information requirements tied to decision points with an LTIOV date-time group provide focus for units collecting information and ensure units report information to facilitate timely decisions. Retain freedom of maneuver. Tactical mobility and maneuver drive the success of reconnaissance operations. Commanders and staffs consider task organization, movement techniques, and scheme of maneuver to retain the unit's ability to maneuver. Reconnaissance operations confirm or deny assumptions about terrain and enemy made during mission analysis and IPB to identify opportunities and maintain freedom of maneuver for the BCT. Counter-reconnaissance operations retain freedom of maneuver by denying enemy collection efforts and identifying opportunities for the command to seize, retain, and exploit initiative. Commanders change movement techniques and employ multiple assets to make contact with the smallest possible element and to avoid becoming decisively engaged. Commanders retain freedom of maneuver by avoiding decisive engagement with a superior force and develop the situation further. Commanders consistently balance the requirement to maintain contact with retaining freedom of maneuver. Gain and maintain enemy contact. Cavalry forces find and sustain contact with the enemy on terms and conditions of their choosing, using at least one of the 9 forms of contact: visual, direct, indirect, non-hostile, obstacles, aircraft, sea burn, influence, and electromagnetic warfare. Commanders and staffs plan for and integrate aerial and ground sensors, manned platforms and unmanned systems, dismounted operations, SIGINT, geospatial intelligence, HUMINT, and visual observation to gain contact with the enemy using the smallest element possible. Intelligence units can provide a wide array of support to assist cavalry forces in detecting and tracking the enemy, such as UAS imagery and full motion video or geolocation provided by SIGINT collectors. Once units make contact, cavalry forces maintain contact until specific orders are given, a change of mission occurs when directed by a higher headquarters, or the unit conducts a reconnaissance handover with another unit. Maintaining contact with the enemy provides real-time information of the enemy's composition, disposition, strength, and actions that allow staffs to analyze and make recommendations to the commander. Develop the situation rapidly. Cavalry forces act instinctively and urgently to increase the commander's situational understanding of the terrain, enemy, and civilian population. Effective cavalry forces understand how time impacts movement, both friendly and enemy, and how timely collection of information requirements supports the commander's decision-making. The reconnaissance scheme of maneuver and tempo matches the requisite urgency to answer the necessary information requirements. Cavalry forces collect on directed reconnaissance objectives in close contact with civilian populations, while selectively choosing to fight enemy forces to determine intent, disposition, composition, and strength. The following vignette highlights a cavalry organization's use of reconnaissance fundamentals to locate an opposing force during the Civil War. Vignette: Reed's Bridge. In the days preceding the Battle of Chickamauga, the roads in northwest Georgia were filled with columns of marching and countermarching soldiers as the Union Army of the Cumberland and the Confederate Army of Tennessee maneuvered in preparation for battle. By mid-September, General Rosecrans had begun to concentrate Union forces, but the action took time. Most of his army remained south of Chattanooga, while smaller forces garrisoned the town and occupied key locations nearby. General Bragg's Army of Tennessee sought to engage and destroy a portion of Rosecrans' army before it could be reinforced. Alternatively, he sought to interpose his Confederate army between Rosecrans and the main Union supply depot at Chattanooga, forcing an engagement. Critical to Union planning lay the determination of Bragg's location and intent. Therefore, mounted forces including Colonel H.G. Minty's Cavalry Brigade were dispatched to find the Confederates. Minty's mission also included screening the northern or left flank of Rosecrans' consolidating army. On 15 September, the Union cavalry crossed Chickamauga Creek at Reed's Bridge and pushed patrols eastward toward Ringgold. Minty's troopers initially found little sign of Confederate activity, but they did identify several potential crossing sites over the Chickamauga that enemy forces might use. On the 17th, a probe toward the town by Union infantry encountered a concentrated force of Confederates and retired. Minty also noted the enemy presence and the apparent northward shift of Bragg's army in preparation for a thrust across the Chickamauga into the left flank of Rosecrans' still consolidating forces. This information concerning Confederate activity was reported to Minty's chain of command. Colonel Minty also maintained patrols to observe the Confederates at Ringgold. His actions triggered the dispatch of additional Union-mounted elements to cover crossings over the Chickamauga on each of his flanks. Ensure continuous reconnaissance. The regular use of small patrols during the day and at night to monitor activities at Ringgold enabled Minty to accurately locate, monitor, and forecast Confederate intentions and forces. Do not keep reconnaissance assets in reserve. Minty's cavalry brigade managed reconnaissance patrols with a redundancy of day and night small patrols to answer the Corps commander's information requirements. Orient on the reconnaissance objective. Minty remained focused upon obtaining information on enemy troop locations and movements, resulting in his correct identification of the Confederate concentration at Ringgold and its likely purpose. Report all required information rapidly and accurately. Minty provided at least 9 reports to his Corps commander in 4 days, with most of the reports arriving across several miles within a few hours. He also sent reports to other Union commanders in his vicinity to keep them apprised of the tactical situation. He relied upon a network of dispatchers to sustain these communication links. Retain freedom of maneuver. Minty's success in finding and tracking Confederate forces stemmed from his ability to avoid becoming decisively or unnecessarily engaged in combat operations. Gain and maintain contact. Minty's reconnaissance patrols located and tracked Confederate troop movements into and around Ringgold in accordance with his original instructions. Develop the situation rapidly. The 9 reports that Minty provided his Corps commander over a 4-day period allowed his higher headquarters to develop the situation rapidly and employ combat power accordingly. Commander's Reconnaissance Guidance. The commander's reconnaissance guidance should consist of the reconnaissance focus, tempo, and engagement and disengagement criteria. In providing this guidance, the commander describes, shapes, and prioritizes the intended vision of the reconnaissance effort supporting the overall scheme of maneuver and the specific roles of the cavalry unit. Echelon must understand the commander's guidance and the importance of accomplishing the mission. Detailed information on the commander's dialogue and the commander's reconnaissance guidance is in Chapter 3 of this manual. Reconnaissance Techniques. 2 reconnaissance techniques commanders employ to answer information requirements are reconnaissance push and reconnaissance pull. Commanders employ these techniques based on their level of understanding of the operational environment combined with the time available to refine their understanding. In selecting one technique over the other, the commander considers the following. Degree of the situational understanding of the enemy. Time available to collect the information. Leadership ability of subordinate commanders. Proficiency of subordinate units to plan and rapidly react for uncertain situations. Reconnaissance push is reconnaissance that refines the common operational picture, enabling the commander to finalize the plan and support shaping and decisive operations. Commanders use reconnaissance push when they have relatively thorough understandings of the operational environments. In these cases, commanders push reconnaissance assets into specific portions of their areas of operations to confirm, deny, and validate planning assumptions affecting operations. Reconnaissance push emphasizes detailed, well-rehearsed planning. Reconnaissance pull is reconnaissance that determines which routes are suitable for maneuver, where the enemy is strong and weak, and where gaps exist, thus pulling the main body toward and along the path of least resistance. Commanders use reconnaissance pull when they are uncertain of the compositions and dispositions of enemy forces in their areas of operations. Information concerning terrain is vague, and time is limited. In these cases, reconnaissance assets initially work over broad areas to develop the enemy situations. As they gain an understanding of enemy weaknesses, they then pull the main body to positions of tactical advantage. Reconnaissance pull knowingly emphasizes opportunity at the expense of a detailed, well-rehearsed plan and unity of effort. Commanders base plans on several viable branches or courses of action triggered by decision points that reconnaissance assets operate to answer associated CCIRs. Leaders at all levels must understand and rehearse branches and sequels. Reconnaissance methods. Cavalry units use appropriate combinations of dismounted, mounted, aerial, manned and unmanned, reconnaissance by fire methods, and space assets to accomplish their missions during reconnaissance operations. No means is mutually exclusive of another, since the greater number of capabilities and units applied to information collection increases the operation's effectiveness. All units conduct reconnaissance using a combination of dismounted, mounted, aerial, and reconnaissance by fire methods, augmented with brigade and higher echelon technical sensor capabilities. Dismounted. Dismounted reconnaissance is the most time-consuming method used by ground units, but permits the most detailed information collection about the enemy, terrain, civil considerations, and infrastructure. The commander considers using dismounted reconnaissance when stealth is required, or security is the primary concern. Time is available. Detailed information is required. The reconnaissance objective is a stationary threat, fixed site, or terrain feature. The unit expects or has made enemy contact through visual and/or electromagnetic means. Reconnaissance vehicles cannot move through an area due to terrain or threat. The terrain creates a visual dead space that prevents using optics or sensors. Vehicles are not available. Mounted. Mounted reconnaissance enables a more rapid tempo while increasing the potential compromise of reconnaissance efforts. Mounted reconnaissance should take advantage of standoff capabilities provided by surveillance and weapon systems to observe and engage from greater distances. Successful reconnaissance operations mix mounted and dismounted methods based on the enemy situation and time available. The commander considers mounted reconnaissance when time is limited, distances require mounted movement, stealth and security are not primary concerns, detailed information is not required, or the mounted method affords the same scope as the dismounted method. The nature of the reconnaissance objective allows vehicles to approach, such as a terrain feature or road intersection in stability tasks. The enemy location is known. Aerial. Aerial reconnaissance conducted by Army or joint aviation assets serves as a link between sensors and mounted or dismounted reconnaissance. Commanders use aerial reconnaissance to cue other reconnaissance methods to specific areas, thereby increasing the operation's overall efficiency. Aerial reconnaissance assets can rapidly transition to hasty attack or security operations without necessarily becoming decisively engaged, due to their mobility, speed, range, flexibility, lethality, and precision. Complex terrain, adverse weather, enemy air defense systems, and deception and countermeasures degrade the effectiveness of aerial reconnaissance. The commander considers aerial reconnaissance when weather permits, time is extremely limited, or information is required quickly. Ground reconnaissance elements are not available. The objective is at an extended range. A target requires verification. The enemy locations are known and extremely dangerous, high risk, to ground assets, or are vague but considered high risk to ground assets. The terrain is complex. Reconnaissance by fire. Reconnaissance by fire is a technique in which a unit fires on a suspected enemy position. Reconnaissance by fire requires reconnaissance elements to place direct or indirect fire on positions reasonably suspected of enemy occupation. The goal is to cause the enemy to react by moving or returning fire, thus disclosing their disposition or willingness to fight. Leaders use this reconnaissance method when enemy contact is expected and time is limited, or when the unit cannot maneuver to develop the situation. Commanders consider reconnaissance by fire when the unit identifies a natural or manufactured obstacle with suspicion of enemy nearby, detects an obvious kill zone, identifies a suspected enemy position that fits the situational template, determines signs of recent activity, such as track marks or trash, locates probable enemy bunker complexes. Reconnaissance by fire eliminates the element of surprise the cavalry element may have had, and it may give the enemy detailed knowledge of their location. However, reconnaissance by fire may reduce the chance of ambush within established kill zones. Disciplined troops in prepared positions might not react to the fires, particularly if the fires are ineffective and do not inflict damage or casualties. As a result, reconnaissance by fire should not entail the indiscriminate use of direct and indirect fires at all wood lines and hilltops with the hope that the enemy will react. Note: Commanders are required to avoid the targeting of neutral or civilian objects. Unless civilian objects on a possible target location are engaged in hostilities, they would not be valid targets. Reconnaissance management. The cavalry unit commander and staffs manage assets by queuing, mixing, and redundancy. Reconnaissance management allows the unit to collect the most critical information with multiple perspectives at the appropriate time. The BCTS-3 manages and synchronizes all capabilities and units to support the brigade and cavalry squadron execution. Queuing, mixing, and redundancy maximize collection efforts and allow the primary focus to be on reconnaissance objectives that may yield the most information. The details of queuing, mixing, and redundancy are as follows. Queuing is the integration of one or more types of reconnaissance or surveillance systems to provide information that directs follow-on collecting of more detailed information by another system. These systems may signal other ground or air reconnaissance assets to investigate specific areas in order to confirm, deny, or verify information. For example, a dismounted observation post may observe an NAI along Avenue of Approach 1, while an unmanned ground sensor surveys Avenue of Approach 2. Upon activation of the unmanned ground sensor conducting surveillance of Avenue of Approach 2, the observation post is retasked to observe Avenue of Approach 2 to confirm or deny enemy presence or movement along the Avenue of Approach. Mixing is using two or more different capabilities to collect against the same information requirement. Employing different systems is always desirable when the situation and available resources permit. This method increases the probability of collecting information and tends to provide more complete information. Mixing can defeat deception attempts by highlighting discrepancies in information reported by different collection assets. For example, one observation post and one UAS focused on one NAI. Redundancy is using two or more like capabilities to collect against the same information requirement. Redundancy improves the chances the reconnaissance element collects the required information and provides depth should one element become compromised. For example, two observation posts focused on one NAI. The BCT commander task organizes with additional assets from within or without the cavalry unit to increase the effectiveness and survivability of a cavalry asset. For example, the BCT task organizes a cavalry squadron with a lasing team, a signal retransmission element, and an ERT to improve fire's lethality, increase communications range, and enhance mobility capabilities organic to the squadron. Refer to ADP-3-90 for more information. Reconnaissance assets and capabilities. Although the cavalry scout directly observing the target is the commander's most flexible reconnaissance asset, the commander maximizes all the collection capabilities and units, manned and unmanned, to assess the enemy and the effects of the terrain on enemy and friendly forces. Besides knowing the capabilities and limitations of these systems, commanders and staffs understand all systems are susceptible to deception and countermeasures. The following assets and capabilities integrate into the information collection effort through queuing, mixing, and redundancy. These capabilities provide the commander with critical information at the appropriate time, utilizing the fewest assets. Sensors. Sensors allow flexibility in economizing aerial, dismounted, or mounted capabilities. Commanders use sensors to observe areas where contact may not be expected but is possible, or for surveillance of areas over extended periods. Sensors facilitate ground reconnaissance by providing redundancy and confirmation for other capabilities and units operating in different areas of the battlefield. They can extend surveillance distance between ground reconnaissance and the threat. The commander considers sensor reconnaissance to expand the scope of coverage in a larger area of operations, to conduct missions of an extended duration, to conduct seaburn reconnaissance, or to queue a more thorough ground or aerial reconnaissance of a given area. Unmanned aircraft systems. UAS platforms can locate and identify major enemy forces, moving vehicles, weapon systems, and other targets. Additionally, UASs can detect and confirm information on the ground, such as the position of friendly forces or the presence of non-combatant civilians. Besides its organic UASs, the unit may plan and control employment of UASs from supporting organizations. Note: airspace management and coordination is a critical consideration for the employment of UASs. Refer to FM3-52 and ATP3-52.1 for more information. UAS employment is most effective forward or on the flanks. Employed together, UASs and manned or unmanned ground reconnaissance elements provide excellent surveillance capability. Other capabilities include the following: support target acquisition efforts and lethal attacks on enemy reconnaissance and advance forces. Assist in zone, area, and route reconnaissance operations. Locate and determine enemy force composition, disposition, and activity. Maintain contact with enemy forces. Provide target location with enough accuracy to enable immediate target handover and first-round fire for effect engagements. Provide or enhance multispectral sensor coverage of the area of operations. Provide information to ground reconnaissance elements, increasing survivability. Reduce or eliminate exposure time of ground reconnaissance elements in high-risk environments. Support mission duration beyond those of manned systems. Provide digital connectivity that enables rapid product dissemination and constant communications. While UASs are excellent force multipliers, they have limited effectiveness in locating well-covered or concealed enemy forces. UASs organic to the reconnaissance unit are not suited for deep, long-duration searches. Other limitations include the following: vulnerability to enemy fire, weather restrictions, such as cloud cover or turbulence, line of sight requirement between the aircraft and ground control stations, limited frequencies for UAS control, airspace coordination issues, limited sensor field of view, limited detection capability in complex terrain, unique Class 3/5 requirements, inability to provide first-hand knowledge of the situation, fragile components, signals intelligence. BCTs use information developed by the SIGINT systems, organic or task organized to the BCT. SIGINT systems can monitor or scan for signals, stop at detected signals, and restart after a predetermined time or when manually queued. The system has on-the-move signal intercept capabilities. Electromagnetic support, ES, and SIGINT often share the same or similar assets and resources, and personnel conducting ES could be required to collect information that meets both requirements simultaneously. The distinction between ES and SIGINT is determined by who has operational control of assets collecting information. See FM3-12 for further details. Surveillance. Surveillance is the systematic observation of aerospace, cyberspace, surface, or subsurface areas, places, persons, or things by visual, oral, electronic, photographic, or other means, JP3O. Surveillance involves observing an area to collect information and observing the threat and local population in an NAI or a TAI. Surveillance may be a standalone mission or part of a reconnaissance mission, particularly area reconnaissance. Elements conducting surveillance must maximize assets, maintain continuous surveillance on all NAIs and TAIs, and report all information accurately. A variety of assets, ground, air, sea, and space, means, soldiers and systems, and mediums through the electromagnetic spectrum can perform surveillance tasks. Effective surveillance maintains continuous observations of all assigned NAIs and TAIs. Provides early warning. Detects, tracks, and assesses key targets. Provides mixed, redundant, and overlapping coverage. Cavalry units conduct surveillance as a task while conducting reconnaissance operations. Surveillance is similar to reconnaissance because they both include observation and reporting and involve detection, location, tracking, and identification of entities in an assigned area, gaining environmental data. Surveillance is distinct from reconnaissance in that surveillance is tiered and layered with technical capabilities and systems that collect information. Surveillance is passive and continuous. Reconnaissance is active in the collection of information, such as maneuver, and usually includes human participation and fighting for information. Surveillance and reconnaissance complement each other by queuing the commitment of collection capabilities against locations or specially targeted enemy units. Section 2. Reconnaissance Types. The five types of reconnaissance operations are zone, area, route, reconnaissance in force, and special reconnaissance. All types of reconnaissance driven by the fundamentals of reconnaissance answer PIRs that allow the commander and staff to understand and visualize the environment, develop the situation, create options, identify opportunities, and make decisions. Zone reconnaissance allows intelligence development on threat, terrain, infrastructure, and society within a specified zone of operations. Zone reconnaissance operations are generally large, deliberate, and thorough efforts designed to gain a significant amount of information. Area reconnaissance focuses reconnaissance efforts within a smaller geographic area than zone reconnaissance, but requires collecting the same information as for zone reconnaissance, as well as information about dominant terrain outside the specified area from which the threat can still influence friendly operations. Route reconnaissance is a directed operation to obtain detailed information of a specific route and the influential terrain along the route. Reconnaissance in force is an operation to determine the enemy's strength, disposition, and reactions in a specified area, conducted by battalion-sized TFs or larger elements. Special reconnaissance is an operation conducted by SOF in hostile, denied, or diplomatically and politically sensitive environments to collect or verify information of strategic or operational significance. Special reconnaissance capabilities and assets are not usually available to conventional forces. Note, when the cavalry unit receives a reconnaissance mission from higher headquarters, the unit may perform a combination of reconnaissance types to answer the higher commander's information requirements. For example, if the cavalry squadron's mission is to conduct zone reconnaissance, their subordinate units may conduct a combination of zone, area, or route reconnaissance missions inside the assigned squadron zone of operations. Zone reconnaissance. Zone reconnaissance is a type of reconnaissance operation that involves a directed effort to obtain detailed information on all routes, obstacles, terrain, and enemy forces within a zone defined by boundaries, ADP 3-90. Any unit can perform zone reconnaissance, though the cavalry squadron conducts zone reconnaissance in advance of the BCT's maneuver battalions to develop information and intelligence, affecting the success of current and future BCT operations. A commander assigns zone reconnaissance when the enemy situation is vague or when information related to terrain, infrastructure, or the civil populace is limited. Commanders require specific information from zone reconnaissance to develop or refine their courses of action before deploying additional forces into the zones. In this regard, zone reconnaissance may orient on the main body's subsequent area of operations or a specific axis of advance. Zone reconnaissance is the broadest and overarching of the reconnaissance types and is an appropriate mission for the BCT's cavalry squadron. The more focused types of reconnaissance operations, area and route reconnaissance, may be included as specified tasks during zone reconnaissance. Commanders must work to balance available time with critical collection requirements to ensure they provide the necessary information for their higher commanders. To do this, commanders deliberately focus collection requirements and adjust their reconnaissance methods to increase the overall tempo of the operation. However, as tempo increases, so does the risk associated with zone reconnaissance and follow-on operations. Commanders choose to task organize the reconnaissance force to mitigate risks associated with an increased tempo of operations, and to provide cavalry organizations with an ability to develop the situation through action in close contact with the enemy and civilian population. Tasks. The cavalry squadron commander, working with the BCT commander, determines the priority of tasks that best answers PIRs. The commander then focuses the squadron's collection efforts against these requirements. The primary tasks conducted within capability and associated with zone reconnaissance are: find and report all enemy forces within the zone. Clear all enemy forces in the designated assigned area of the unit conducting reconnaissance in accordance with engagement criteria. Determine the trafficability of all terrain in the zone, including built-up areas. Locate and determine the extent of all contaminated areas in the zone. Inspect and classify all bridges within the zone. Inspect and classify overpasses, underpasses, and culverts. Reconnoiter defiles along the route. Clear them of enemy and obstacles or locate a bypass. Locate fords or crossing sites or obstacle bypasses within the zone. Locate and clear any mines, obstacles, and barriers in the zone. Report reconnaissance information. Based on priority, the commander may direct the following. Reconnoiter all terrain within the zone. Reconnoiter specific terrain within the zone. Locate bypasses around built-up areas, obstacles, and contaminated areas. BCT planning considerations. BCT commanders direct zone reconnaissance to develop the situation for follow-on offensive, defensive, or stability tasks. The cavalry squadron is the BCT commander's primary reconnaissance unit to develop the situation and refine subsequent courses of action. Consequently, BCT commanders must provide planning guidance and clear intent for zone reconnaissance operations that offer both freedom of action and adequate direction to ensure their cavalry squadrons accomplish defined reconnaissance objectives within the required time frame. The BCT commander's intent for zone reconnaissance provides focus for information collection. Based on the potential scale of zone reconnaissance, commanders prioritize collection efforts on reconnaissance objectives determined during the IPB process. The event template, terrain analysis, and enemy situation template create information requirements that in turn focus collection efforts. These requirements, linked to CCIRs, assist the BCT commander and staff with developing and refining courses of action. Regardless of the amount of information known, the BCT commander initially defines and consistently refines the type of information needed, information requirements, and when it is needed. The BCT commander describes how the reconnaissance efforts enable follow-on operations. The cavalry squadron serves as the BCT commander's eyes and ears, allowing the commander to have a better understanding of the operational environment and have the ability to focus the main effort at positions of tactical advantage. Finally, the BCT commander defines the cavalry squadron's role when the squadron transitions from zone reconnaissance to a follow-on operation. When reconnaissance assets react to contact, they affect the reconnaissance tempo. Therefore, engagement, disengagement, and bypass criteria are essential considerations from the BCT to the section level. The criteria for which subordinate elements lethally engage or disengage enemy forces help the squadron gain and maintain contact with the enemy. Commanders may direct bypassing or handing off certain sizes or types of units to maintain the tempo of the operation based upon subsequent planned operations and guidance from higher. Follow-on forces must understand engagement/disengagement and bypass criteria. Reconnaissance assets direct and rehearse deliberate handover of enemy targets between friendly units as required during engagement, disengagements, and transitions. To enable information collection, one of the major considerations for the BCT staff when planning zone reconnaissance is the cavalry squadron's task organization. BCTs task organize and assign command relationships for their cavalry formations to accomplish their assigned mission in their anticipated area of operations. The BCT sets conditions for zone reconnaissance by enabling the cavalry squadron with additional capabilities, such as rotary wing aircraft, air defense support, joint and organic fires. The BCT also provides information collection assets, mobility support, increased sustainment capacity, retransmission capability, infantry, and armored based upon available units, information collection requirements, and estimates of the enemy's capabilities and assets. Effective cavalry is task-organized with additional assets that allow them to collect information and intelligence in close contact with the enemy and civil population, without placing the unit in a position of disadvantage or risk of enemy overmatch. A sufficient task organization enables the unit conducting zone reconnaissance to develop the situation through action, especially in an unclear operational environment. Similarly, when conducting operations focused on the conduct of stability tasks, task organizing the squadron with capabilities specific to collecting information for follow-on operations, such as civil affairs, translators, or a complete infrastructure assessment team, provides information in a timely fashion. The positioning of sustainment assets depends on the depth of the zone, anticipated duration of the operation, and sustainment requirements during operations. Class 3, Class 5, maintenance collection, and medical evacuation are of primary concern. A forward-positioned FARP reduces aircraft turnaround time. The FARP may be in the squadron zone or in the area of operations of the lead unit behind the squadron. Dedication of additional capabilities comes at a potential cost to follow-on operations. Additional combat power enhances the cavalry squadron's ability to gain and maintain contact and execute reconnaissance and battle handover, while providing an increased capacity to defeat enemy reconnaissance and security forces. Above all other considerations, an appropriately task-organized squadron has the ability to take advantage of situations and opportunities identified during zone reconnaissance. Seizing opportunities provides the BCT with a marked advantage during decisive operations. Therefore, commanders should carefully consider the significant risks assumed in executing reconnaissance operations as an economy of force without appropriately task-organizing the cavalry force. Note: reconnaissance organizations require versatility to adapt to ever-evolving tactical situations and operational realities. Versatility without survivability and combat power has little relevance. Reconnaissance units unable to survive contact with an enemy and incapable of overcoming even light resistance tend to be marginalized either by a threat or by their own commanders. Even stealthy reconnaissance requires an ability to survive a chance contact or an ambush that may occur with little warning. Cameron, page 577. Cavalry squadron planning considerations. When developing planning guidance, cavalry squadron commanders incorporate the BCT commander's intent and concept for follow-on forces into their overall scheme of maneuver. When conducting all the types of reconnaissance, focus, reconnaissance tempo, and engagement/disengagement criteria are critical components of the commander's reconnaissance guidance. The tempo and uncertainty of military operations rarely allows sufficient time to collect all the relevant or required information during zone reconnaissance. Therefore, commanders must focus their formations on specific reconnaissance objectives that validate or invalidate assumptions and confirm or deny planned courses of action. Prioritization allows the cavalry squadron to increase the speed of collection and accomplish reconnaissance objectives in sufficient time to facilitate the main effort's movement and maneuver to positions of tactical advantage. Mission analysis and IPB produces terrain analysis, enemy situational templates, and an event template to predict how the military aspects of terrain, mission variables, and civil considerations affect friendly and enemy forces. The squadron uses available information to prioritize tasks and determine factors such as speed, movement, and reconnaissance techniques, overall focus of reconnaissance, task, purpose, and focus for subordinate troops, task-organized assets, and boundaries, zones for ground troops, essential aerial on-station times or locations if available. Commanders direct the reconnaissance tempo during zone reconnaissance to enable the timely collection of information and intelligence to facilitate successful subsequent operations. Commanders prescribe the scope to collect against specific reconnaissance objectives and speed and movement techniques during different portions of the operation, task organization of reconnaissance assets to create efficient collection and a timeline for collection in their planning guidance. The combination of these factors creates a tempo for zone reconnaissance. To control movement, the squadron assigns zones for the ground troops. Zone reconnaissance begins at the line of departure, LD, and concludes at a specified limit of advance, LOA, with lateral boundaries defining the area of operations. Subordinate zones may not be the same size. The main body frequently orients movement along a major route, especially an axis of advance, though traveling directly along the route incurs tactical risk. Reconnaissance of the route becomes a specified task for a troop typically. Phase lines, PLs, control progress through the zone. Boundaries and PLs are drawn along recognizable terrain. Contact points along boundaries maintain coordinated reconnaissance between adjacent units. Checkpoints indicate critical terrain features, control reconnaissance movement and reporting, and coordinate air and ground actions. Cavalry units conduct detailed fires planning regardless of the assigned task or prescribed tempo. Deliberate fire planning has two components, indirect and direct. A commander deliberately plans and integrates indirect fire support into the scheme of maneuver to enhance the effectiveness of direct fires. Fire's integration ensures that templated enemy forces are targeted with the most casualty-producing weapon systems. By setting the conditions to engage the enemy with indirect fires, the commander can degrade the enemy's scheme of maneuver without exposing friendly forces to observation and direct fire engagement until necessary. Commanders establish a direct fire plan based on met TCI. Fire distribution allows the commander to achieve massing fires and effects on the enemy to degrade or destroy their ability to command and control their forces. Proper direct fire planning destroys the most dangerous enemy assets first, uses each weapon system in its best role, concentrates fires and effects on long-range targets, takes the best shots and exposes only those combat vehicles that actually need to fire, avoids target overkill. Integration of combined arms air-ground operations are essential to the success of reconnaissance operations. Considerations for the integration of air-ground operations include the following. Command and control relationship. Rotary wing employment plan, task and purpose. Ground troops missions. Tasks performed by air and ground troops. Rotary wing support increases the effectiveness of the reconnaissance efforts by reconnoitering open terrain, reconnoitering forward of the ground troops, screening flanks, and locating enemy forces. Integrated and synchronized aerial reconnaissance allows ground troops to focus on terrain, routes, and reconnaissance of obstacles and enemy. When air and ground reconnaissance efforts are integrated, the squadron develops the situation faster, with more fidelity for the BCT commander. Usually, the squadron retains control of task-organized reinforcements when the situation is vague. Engineers are typically task-organized to maneuver elements along primary and alternate routes to assist in technical reconnaissance, obstacle reduction, and route repair. The BCT Field Artillery Battalion has an organic command relationship with the BCT. Priority of fire for artillery to the cavalry troops is based on intelligence or the main effort. Normally, priority for ADA protects trains, command posts, artillery batteries, and task-organized or designated reserve. Commanders at all levels position themselves in the best position to command subordinate units and gain situational awareness. Normally, the squadron tactical command post and main command post are operational to ensure continuous communications over extended distances within the squadron and to higher headquarters. Usually, the combat train's command post moves through the center of the zone along a route providing good movement laterally and in depth. A unit maintenance collection point is usually co-located with or near the combat train's command post. The combat train's command post can promote security and provide command and control of the unit, maintenance collection point, and role 1. The field trains of the cavalry squadron either co-locates with the Brigade Support Battalion, BSB, or echelons in depth behind the combat trains. Command posts and sustainment assets remain mobile and bound forward as the squadron advances. The purpose of a forward passage of lines is to move forces forward to conduct operations. A forward passage of lines ensures the maintenance of enemy contact while allowing the relief of previously committed forces. The stationary force controls and secures the area of operations far enough to its front that the moving force can pass through the stationary force and reform into a combat formation before contact with an enemy force. A forward passage of lines allows the cavalry squadron or units conducting reconnaissance to avoid being harassed or assaulted with hostile intent by enemy forces as they begin operations. Forward or rearward passage of lines can occur during any type of reconnaissance or security operations. Refer to FM3-90-2 for more information. Upon completion of the mission, the squadron proceeds with assigned follow-on missions. In the absence of an assigned mission, typically the squadron conducts security missions in the form of a screen or guard along the LOA or to the flank of a supported unit. If the squadron encounters major enemy formations before the objective and do not find a gap or bypass, the squadron conducts a screen or guard, continues reconnaissance, and prepares to pass main body forces forward. Area reconnaissance. Area reconnaissance is a type of reconnaissance operation that focuses on obtaining detailed information about the terrain or enemy activity within a prescribed area, ADP3-90. Area reconnaissance is detailed reconnaissance in specific locations that answers PIRs and develops the situation to provide options to the commander. The commander assigns area reconnaissance when information on the enemy situation is more developed, when focused reconnaissance in the given area may yield specific information related to terrain or decision points, or when more detailed information is required in a designated area. The area targeted for reconnaissance may consist of a future-friendly position, such as brigade support areas, BSAs, or position areas for artillery. Frequently, area reconnaissance is defined as an NAI or a TAI to focus the unit on a more specific area, such as a building, bridge, obstacle, or key terrain. Tasks. Area reconnaissance comprises the same tasks as zone reconnaissance. Based on time and the commander's intent, the commander may direct reconnaissance for SIRs only. Like zone reconnaissance, the commander should provide focus to the unit in the commander's intent within the op board and list the tasks in the specific instructions. Primary tasks conducted within capability and associated with area reconnaissance are: confirm or deny the commander's PIRs. Determine the trafficability of all terrain in the area, including built-up areas. Find and report all enemy forces within the area. Reconnoiter specific terrain within the area. Report reconnaissance information. Other area reconnaissance tasks include the following: inspect and classify all bridges within the area. Locate fords or crossing sites near all bridges within the area. Inspect and classify all overpasses, underpasses, defiles, and culverts. Locate and clear all mines, obstacles, and barriers in the area. Locate bypasses around built-up areas. Locate and determine the extent of all contamination in the area, as well as bypasses around contaminated areas. Locate any bypasses for existing obstacles in the area that cannot be cleared. BCT planning considerations. The planning considerations for area reconnaissance at the BCT are the same as for zone reconnaissance. The BCT commander provides focus within the area and the reconnaissance tempo. The BCT commander also provides the reconnaissance objective and the engagement/disengagement criteria for the maneuver to the reconnaissance objective. Cavalry squadron planning considerations. The planning considerations for area reconnaissance at the squadron level are the same as for zone reconnaissance, with some unique considerations. In area reconnaissance, the squadron's IPB analysis determines the speed, formations, and movement techniques used to travel to the area. Depending on the size of the area, the commander decides the appropriate size force required to reconnoiter the objective. En route to or inside the area, the squadron establishes control measures as in zone reconnaissance. If another unit occupies an AA, the squadron reconnoiters avenues of approach and mobility corridors leading to the area to support that force. That squadron can secure the area initially, until the unit's quartering parties arrive. The squadron continues with assigned missions or moves to screen that force as it conducts AA operations. Upon completion of reconnaissance, the troop or squadron departs the area along a different route. The squadron establishes control measures for area reconnaissance in the same manner as for zone reconnaissance. The squadron designates the area to reconnoiter with a continuous closed line, usually depicted as an NAI. The key distinction between zone and area reconnaissance is not which echelon can conduct either task or the size of the area or zone to be reconnoitered. The key distinctions instead rely on the amount of information known about the enemy and operational environment, as well as the amount of risk the commander is willing to accept. Therefore, the commander might accept risk moving to the NAI or TAI to maximize the amount of time the unit can conduct the area reconnaissance. Whereas in zone reconnaissance, the unit would deploy into a maneuver formation at the LD and conduct reconnaissance throughout the zone to mitigate the risk incurred by not understanding the enemy situation. Route reconnaissance. Route reconnaissance is a type of reconnaissance operation to obtain detailed information of a specified route and all terrain from which the enemy could influence movement along that route, ADP 3-90. A route may include a road, highway, trail, tunnel, bridge, and ferry. Routes include a designated start point and end point. Reconnaissance of a route is essential when intelligence indicates a probability of enemy contact or obstacle along the route, or in the area and surrounding terrain, or when information concerning the surrounding influential terrain is vague or unknown. The commander assigns route reconnaissance either as a discrete operation or as an implied task during zone reconnaissance. Units collect information about roads, bridges, tunnels, fords, waterways, and other natural and artificial terrain features that can affect mobility. Route reconnaissance provides commanders with more detailed information about the route and terrain that can influence the unit. Commanders use this information to prevent surprise, determine trafficability for follow-on forces, and confirm or deny staff estimates and assumptions made during the operations process. Route reconnaissance is not to be confused with route classification, which can be included in route reconnaissance. Typically, engineer reconnaissance platoons perform a route classification, which requires technical measurements and analysis. Tasks. Certain tasks are required during route reconnaissance unless otherwise directed by the higher commander. These tasks are not a checklist or arranged sequentially, as some may not be necessary for mission accomplishment. If time is limited, the commander directs reconnaissance for SIRs. The tasks conducted within capability and associated with route reconnaissance are: find, report, and clear all enemy forces that can influence movement along the route in accordance with engagement criteria. Reconnoiter and determine the trafficability of the route. Reconnoiter all terrain the enemy can use to influence movement along the route, such as choke points, ambush sites, and pickup, landing, and drop zones. Reconnoiter all built-up areas along the route. Reconnoiter all lateral routes. Locate bypasses around built-up and contaminated areas. Inspect and classify all bridges within the area. Reconnoiter defiles along the route. Clear them of enemy and obstacles or locate a bypass. Locate fords or crossing sites near all bridges on the route. Inspect and classify all overpasses, underpasses, and culverts. Locate and clear all mines and barriers on the route, and locate bypasses around any obstacles that cannot be cleared. Submit route report. BCT planning considerations. The BCT commander assigns a route reconnaissance mission when plans call for using a specific route for friendly movement. The planning considerations for route reconnaissance at brigade level are the same as for zone reconnaissance, with additional considerations. BCT commanders assign the cavalry squadron a single route along the length or width of the area of operations or along multiple geographically separate routes, albeit commanders seldom assign single routes to squadrons. The squadron can establish its own routes with different functions. Commanders can add those functions as objectives to specify different types of routes. The BCT commander provides focus, reconnaissance tempo, and engagement and disengagement criteria as they relate to the main body considerations for reconnaissance or battle handover. Cavalry squadron planning considerations. The planning considerations for route reconnaissance at the squadron level are the same as for zone reconnaissance, with some unique considerations. When a squadron conducts route reconnaissance of a single route, one troop acts as the main reconnaissance unit, with the other troops operating abreast on the flanks to reconnoiter terrain features that dominate or influence the main route. When deciding how much terrain on each flank of the route to reconnoiter, the commander determines possible danger areas and the nature of the potential threat. The squadron then determines the task organization and command relationships of any combined arms attachments based on the IPB and mission analysis. When the squadron conducts route reconnaissance of multiple routes whereon enemy contact is probable, a troop conducts reconnaissance of one route while the other troops secure their flanks. If contact is unlikely, the troop may reconnoiter with assigned scout platoons through multiple routes, which must be close enough together for the troop commander to control the operation. Integrated air and ground reconnaissance provides for faster and more complete reconnaissance. The squadron establishes control measures for route reconnaissance by creating an area of operations for the unit conducting reconnaissance. The commander places lateral boundaries on both sides of the route far enough out to allow reconnaissance of all terrain from which the enemy could influence movement along the route. An LD is placed perpendicularly to the route and at a starting point at the beginning of the route. The LD creates the rear boundary of the area of operations. The commander then places an LOA far enough beyond the route's release point to include terrain from which the enemy could influence the route. The start and release points define that section of the route where the unit collects detailed information. The commander places PLs and checkpoints to maintain coordinated reconnaissance, control movement and maneuver, or designate critical points. The commander places additional control measures to coordinate indirect and direct fire as necessary. Planning and execution considerations. The commander integrates ground, air, and other technical assets to allow for either faster or more detailed route reconnaissance. The commander orders aerial reconnaissance if the squadron must complete the reconnaissance mission quickly. When time is limited, aerial reconnaissance is essential in determining areas clear of enemy forces and obstacles and in cueing ground reconnaissance about where to focus efforts. The commander establishes priorities of fire and indirect fire control measures if enemy contact is possible or expected. The squadron considers built-up areas, protected sites, and civilians in both the planning and execution of indirect fires. If the commander requires detailed information on a route, ERTs can conduct deliberate reconnaissance of critical points along the route more quickly and accurately than route reconnaissance conducted by a cavalry unit. If the commander anticipates significant obstacles or is required to determine a hasty classification of bridges, fords, ferry sites, and tunnels, engineers are normally task-organized to the squadron. If seaburn contamination is expected, seaburn reconnaissance assets should accompany the force conducting ground reconnaissance. They can detect, identify, and locate seaburn hazards more accurately and quickly than organic cavalry units. Reconnaissance in force. Reconnaissance in force is a type of reconnaissance operation designed to discover or test the enemy's strength, dispositions, and reactions, or to obtain other information. ADP 3-90. Usually, reconnaissance in force is a limited objective operation conducted by a battalion-sized TF, cavalry squadron, or larger force. The commander assigns reconnaissance in force when the enemy is operating within a specific area and the commander cannot obtain adequate intelligence by other means. Reconnaissance in force is an aggressive reconnaissance, which develops information and intelligence in contact with the enemy to determine and exploit enemy weaknesses. The commander plans for both the retrograde and reinforcement of the friendly force, in case it should encounter superior enemy forces, and for the exploitation of its success. During reconnaissance in force, the subordinate elements of the cavalry unit conduct offensive tasks and zone, area, and route reconnaissance operations. The cavalry squadron often conducts reconnaissance in force in advance of a BCT movement to contact in order to allow the main body freedom of maneuver and mass combat power. BCT commanders order squadrons to conduct reconnaissance in force as a standalone operation or as the lead in conjunction with a brigade attack. Based upon enemy composition and other MET-TCI variables, the cavalry squadron may require augmentation with maneuver and fires elements to conduct reconnaissance in force as a standalone operation. Cavalry forces need to retain freedom of maneuver while conducting tasks during reconnaissance in force operations. Tasks. Tasks for reconnaissance in force include the following. Penetrate the enemy's security area and determine its size and depth. Determine the location and disposition of enemy forces. Attack enemy positions and attempt to force the enemy to react by using local reserves or major counterattack forces, employing fires and specific weapon systems, and adjusting positions. Determine weaknesses in the enemy's disposition to exploit. Locate obstacles and create lanes as specified. Enter areas of operations in complex terrain not previously occupied by friendly forces, such as urban environments. Planning considerations. The planning considerations for reconnaissance in force are the same as for zone reconnaissance. The control measures of reconnaissance in force are the same as for offensive tasks. Refer to ADP 3-90 for more information. Special reconnaissance. Special reconnaissance is characterized as reconnaissance and surveillance actions conducted as a special operation in hostile, denied, or diplomatically and/or politically sensitive environments, to collect or verify information of strategic or operational significance, employing military capabilities not normally found in conventional forces, JP 3-05. Special reconnaissance tasks support the collection of the Joint TF Commander's PIRs. A special operations liaison may provide a responsive reporting capability in situations wherein the special operations TF commander has been requested to collect intelligence information that supports the intelligence requirements of a conventional force commander. A SOF element conducting special reconnaissance supports the joint TF commander's overall information collection efforts. The SOF element does not suspend or alter their collection efforts to support another collection plan unless the joint TF commander directs them to do so. SOF are equipped and possess capabilities to conduct reconnaissance on denied and hostile areas normally inaccessible to other forces or assets. Special reconnaissance activities include environmental reconnaissance. armed reconnaissance, target and threat assessment, post-strike reconnaissance. Commanders establish mutual liaison capacity within both the brigade and SOF to understand collection task prioritization and to understand associated reporting requirements and mechanisms. Special reconnaissance may occur prior to conventional forces entering a designated area of operations. Commanders and staffs must understand when, where, and why special reconnaissance operations are being conducted to establish unity of purpose and provide any necessary additional forces. Detailed coordination is imperative between SOF and conventional elements in order to support the operational element appropriately. Refer to ATP 3-18.4 for more information on special reconnaissance. Electromagnetic reconnaissance, ER, is the detection, location, identification, and evaluation of foreign electromagnetic radiations, energy, JP 3-85. Electromagnetic reconnaissance is an action used to support information collection and is an element of the tactical task reconnaissance. Information obtained through electromagnetic reconnaissance assists the commander with situational understanding and decision-making. See FM 3-12 for more information on ER. Section 3, Reconnaissance Handover. A reconnaissance handover is the action that occurs between two elements to coordinate the transfer of information and responsibility for observation of potential threat contact, or the transfer of an assigned area from one element to another. A reconnaissance handover occurs between the BCT and other BCTs, SOF, foreign military forces, civilian agencies and organizations, or indigenous persons. A reconnaissance handover occurs between the BCT's cavalry squadron and battalion scouts, as well as maneuver battalions. Reconnaissance handovers could occur between manned and unmanned elements, like the ACS. Planning considerations. Reconnaissance and security operations require the unit conducting the handover to coordinate with higher, lower, and adjacent units. Planning for these operations requires the reconnaissance handover coordination to start at the higher echelons and execute at the lowest element. A reconnaissance handover ensures information requirements are transferred between units to maintain initiative and tempo and to ease transitions. Well-planned and executed reconnaissance handovers ease transitions in plans, phases, and priorities of effort and mitigate information gaps between units. Planning for a reconnaissance handover takes place as part of a change of mission before or during operations. When planning before an operation, commanders review the completed plan for layered, redundant reconnaissance and security, using all available capabilities and units. Commanders and staff direct control measures, such as a reconnaissance handover line between units or potential designated coordination, points to facilitate ground link-up, along with other graphic control measures that aid in command and control. A reconnaissance handover line is a designated phase line on the ground where reconnaissance responsibility transitions from one element to another. A reconnaissance handover is typically associated with a trigger, a coordination point, or PLs designated as the reconnaissance handover line to ensure positive control and chain of custody from the initial force to the force assuming responsibility and control. A reconnaissance handover prevents gaps or seams from emerging that the enemy can exploit. Once handover is complete, the force transferring control either passes to the rear through the main body, assuming responsibility for the reconnaissance objective as a rearward passage of lines, or continues farther into the zone to continue their reconnaissance mission. Execution and tasks. A reconnaissance handover involves transferring physical, visual, electromagnetic, or digital observation in a number of combinations. Reconnaissance assets, such as ground sensors and UASs, may transfer responsibility during the reconnaissance handover. A reconnaissance handover is similar to a battle handover in that its conduct is in conjunction with other tasks, such as relief in place, link up, and passage of lines. Leaders and planners at all levels coordinate and execute reconnaissance handover tasks while considering the following: redundant surveillance to assist in maintaining enemy contact, location and criteria for a reconnaissance handover, communications plan between handover elements, exchanging operations and fires plans, exchanging intelligence and information collection assets, identifying and coordinating for target handover as necessary, contact points or link-up points, collocating command posts, transfer and acceptance of command between units, rehearsals, recognition signals, Special Operations Forces Reconnaissance Handover. Based on their forward proximity in the area of operations, reconnaissance forces may often be the first friendly units to encounter SOF units. Refer to Chapter 6 for more details. Conventional reconnaissance forces may operate in conjunction with SOF. Depending on the command relationship, a reconnaissance handover may be required to conduct a relief in place with SOF, conduct joint operations with SOF, or in passing through SOF areas. Units use the same planning steps listed above when conducting a SOF reconnaissance handover.